This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you, everybody, who texted, tweeted that Ole Miss is a Nike school. But I'm pretty sure Texas Tech, when Chris Beard was there, was an Under Armour school. Before we get to the phone lines, Denton, you wanted to weigh in with a few thoughts.
So I have five coaches that I would like to run by you just to get your thoughts. You know, I'm in agreement with you that the number one option in a logical world is Chris Beard. Some of these options are a little illogical. So I have like a nuclear option, a really big option, and then three, I think, good options. Where would you like me to start in my offerings to you?
I would prefer the nuclear option first.
I would pick up the phone. Are you in agreement? Let me first ask you this. Are you in agreement that coaching is an itch that some guys just cannot get rid of, no matter what they're doing?
Yes.
I would pick up the phone. Knowing that this individual turned down $70 million, reportedly, I would up the offer and I would call Brad Stevens. Say, hey, do you want to coach again? Because Brad Stevens could recruit.
Oh, yeah.
And Brad Stevens can coach the hell out of a basketball team.
What is Brad Stevens? Is he still with the Celtics or not?
He is technically the general manager of the Celtics, which is obviously a very tough job to step away from. And he reportedly turned down 70 from Indiana. But I would up the offer. You get to come hang out with Gary Williams. I would call Brad. That's my nuclear, like,
okay,
fantasy booking option.
Got it. Brad Stevens.
Brad Stevens. Here's my crazy option. I'd call Matt Painter.
That's never happening.
It's never happening. I'd still make the call.
Yeah. I mean, I thought about some of the coaches just in the Big Ten. Matt Painter is just, he's a Purdue guy. I mean, he is a Gene Katie guy. He's a part, that's part of him. It's his DNA. He played, he's coached under Katie. He's been there now for all these years. He is West Lafayette, Indiana. That's what West Lafayette looks like. He ain't coming to Maryland.
He ain't coming. I'd still
and by the way, you know, they don't have any issues with basketball being supported. You know, I mentioned all the time, Maryland and Indiana are the basketball first schools in the Big Ten. I actually, of course, for whatever reason, leave out Purdue. Purdue is as well.
All right, so these three, the three next ones, I think, are a little bit more realistic in that I do think the schools they are leaving for Maryland would be an upgrade. The first one is Greg McDermott at Creighton.
Yeah, I've thought about that too, but God, how long has he been in Omaha?
He has been there for, I just recently learned that Creighton was in Omaha. For some reason, I thought it was in
Indiana. Oh, you didn't know that?
I had no idea. He's been there for a while.
It's a big deal. You know that Creighton basketball is the thing in Omaha. I mean, they don't have anything else.
They don't have much else.
And they don't have football. So I don't know. I think he's an excellent coach. But go ahead. What are the other two?
So his annual salary, the rumored annual salary for him is $1.3 million.
Really? That can't be right.
And like, if you're Maryland, you can offer at the very least.
How old's Greg McDermott? He's got to be in his 50s, right?
He just turned 60. So he's a little up there. I would make a call to him. I would make a call to Steve Peichel. He can recruit. He got two of the best recruits.
He's a great basketball coach. Let me rephrase. He is a great defensive basketball coach.
A lot of rock fights with him.
Yeah. Let me just say, I don't think that excites the fan base, but continue.
These ones probably will not excite the
fan McDermott
base.
McDermott would be a solid hire. This guy, I mean, what is his overall record at Creighton?
600. His overall record in all coaching is 630 and 366. It's a 63% win percentage.
At Creighton, okay, he's been to the tournament the last, I mean, it would have been 6 years in a row had his team, they finished tied for first in the Big East in 2020. By the way, tied with, do you know who Creighton tied for first with in the Big East in 2020?
Georgetown.
No.
No.
Seton Hall. Kevin Willard's team. No. But he's got basically six NCAA tournament teams in a row. He's made three Sweet 16s and an Elite Eight and hasn't lost one first-round game. Pretty good at a place like Creighton. Really good. All right, what else? Who's your third?
Final one. Again, not the most sexy, exciting name to general college basketball fans. I think you would like it. I think I would like it. I would call Brad Brunell at Clemson.
He just signed a huge extension, didn't he?
He did. I'd pay it out. I mean, because also we mentioned Dwayne Simpkins got an extension earlier this week. We did not mention that on the show this week.
No, Tony Skin did.
Or Tony Skin did. I think Simpkins is about to get one too then. He should. Yeah.
By the way, the extensions for those, you know, Patriot League, A-10 coaches, obviously there are easy outs for a job like Maryland.
Very easy.
So I've talked about Brad Brunell a bunch over the years because I just thought over the years, even though they never really did much in March, I just thought he was a master X's and O's coach. Coaches have always talked about Brad Brunell as well. He's the guy that coached UNC Wilmington the night that Drew Nicklaus hit that incredible shot in 2003 at the buzzer to win a first-round game. He got Clemson to the Elite Eight, you know, last year, and he's been to a few Sweet 16s with Clemson, but they got beat in ugly fashion in the first round this year as a 5 seed. And I'm pretty sure they just signed him to a long-term deal. I don't know. They've been so loyal to him. But he, you know, he's got one of those jobs. Rick Barnes has always been this way, too. Rick Barnes, by the way, there's a name that I meant to mention in thinking about Rick Barnes. Just, I don't know why it made me think of Shaka Smart, but I'll come back to Shaka Smart in a moment. Rick Barnes has always had jobs at football schools, wherever he's gone. So there's never been any, like, real pressure on him. You know, he was at Clemson for years, like Brad Brunell. Nobody cares about basketball at Clemson. They just don't. I mean, it's football, spring football, and then, I don't know, baseball? Maybe basketball after that. I mean, they were in the ACC, and they've been in the ACC all those years, but Clemson was always, in old-school ACC days, the football school in the ACC. Everybody else, until Florida State joined the league, was basically a basketball school, except for Clemson. And then, by the way, Barnes went from Clemson to Texas to Tennessee. Like, he's done well everywhere he's gone. He's an excellent coach, and this Tennessee team plays tonight against Kentucky. They've got a chance to get, you know, to a Final Four, which, by the way, Tennessee's never been to a Final Four. How about that? But I don't know. I mean, for some of these dudes, it's better to just sort of be in the background. And if you win 24 games and you go to the tournament, it's like everybody's like, woo, all right. Oh, we lost. That's okay. Spring football starts tomorrow. I like Brad Brunell as a coach. How old is he? He's got to be in his late 50s, right? 56.
Yeah, 56. His contract, I just found it. 5 years, $20 million after
last year. Did they just up it?
They opted after the 2024 Elite Eight run.
Oh, after the Elite Eight.
Yeah, okay. So he's already coached a year into that contract.
Shaka Smart is another really interesting guy because I think there were a lot of people that wanted Shaka a couple of years ago when they hired Willard. I do like Shaka Smart as a coach. He's from Milwaukee. That's why he's at Marquette. That's, you know, he's at a spot where that's where he's from. Now, they have underachieved a little bit here in the last couple of years, wouldn't you say? This year, for sure, losing in the first round.
He's underachieved. You know,
and would they end up being a 7 seed?
Yeah, they were a 7 seed. They didn't really beat anybody. Like, if you look at some of their, I know we don't really care about quad wins this late in March, but they didn't really beat a lot of teams, despite the fact that they played a bunch of really good teams. You would have thought they would have stole a win from like a St. John's or somebody in the Big East, and they never really
did. Didn't they get up to top five at some point early in the year?
I think they were top five. It would have, if they did, it was before conference play started.
Yeah. All right. 301-230-0988. Let's get to some phone calls. My guy Hayden. Hayden, go ahead.
You forgot the two missed free throws that Selton missed as well. Don't forget those.
Yeah, he missed free throws too. That was the worst night of the year for him by far.
Picked the wrong night to do it. The funny thing is, we're not even talking about Kevin's coaching last night. He did a terrible job. Second half, we just got... I mean, they made adjustments. We didn't.
What adjustments did they make that we didn't respond to?
Oh, we were jumping to those. We got those shooters. We got a little scared of those shooters from the first half, and they adjusted and making the extra pass to the big guy down low. They start right away in the second half. You go watch it. They dumped that ball with an extra pass, I think, 4 times in the first 7 possessions.
Well, yeah, because they're really good, and what happened in the first half is that they fumbled all over themselves and turned the ball over 13 times. That was no doubt. In the second half, Florida didn't turn the ball over. The same thing would have happened in the first half had they not turned the ball over. That would be my contention.
We didn't play well last night, just my opinion.
No, but they were better. You would agree with that.
They're about 100%. We couldn't get rebounds. It's not his fault. We couldn't grab rebounds. I'm not blaming him for not grabbing rebounds. This is not
right.
Not kill the coach day. I agree with everything you said. Better. We could be better off long term. It's a painful exit. Don't forget, the first thing is the number one player in the 2027 class is from Silver Spring.
Yep.
So if you want to, you know, start moving forward, it's an NIL deal. He was in College Park a few weeks ago for one of the games, and there was a huge crowd around him. I can't remember which game it was. But that's, you know, yeah, it's going to be a short-term hit if he leaves, but the nature of the game is let's load up the cash and figure it out. And I think it's a nearsighted decision for him. Anyone who thinks that the Power Four schools, especially the SEC, who have been cheating for years, are going to allow the Big East schools to outspend them in any sport is crazy. So maybe for a year, the Big East will have a few more million dollars, but I guarantee you they're figuring out ways right now in Knoxville, in every single SEC town right now, how to pay more money than those Big East schools. And we're not even going to mention, by the way, that was an all-time choke job from Calipari last night as well. Up 13. Yeah,
they had terrible possessions down the stretch. So do you agree with me? Hayden's a big-time, long-time Maryland supporter. I want us to think big.
I agree. I love the name you said. Beard was, it would be the, you know, all the names you mentioned, those are my top guys. I just don't know if it's realistic. I don't know. I think in the coaching community, there's going to be a, why did two guys walk away in 4 years? And if, you know, are we going to be able to clean this mess up in a 3 week period? The president isn't going anywhere. I'm not as optimistic on that front. I don't know. I find everyone in that athletic department incompetent. The fact that they let it get to this point speaks volumes. Our president, Pine, still hasn't said a word, by the way, except for announcing that Kermit the Frog will be at graduation. It's disappointing. I thought the wind was taken out of our sails this week. And watching Willard get booed off at the hotel yesterday was a terrible. It was awful for everybody. This all should have been avoided.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can patch it up. I really don't. Love
all
you, right, Kevin.
I'll talk to you later. Appreciate it. Hayden in Virginia. By the way, the player that he's referring to is at Blake High School. He's playing public school basketball. He's the number one player right now on ESPN's 2027 high school basketball rankings. So the story on him, and I don't have all the details, but people started telling me about him last year. He was at DeMatha, I guess, as a ninth grader, but they didn't like driving to DeMatha every day because it was too long of a drive, and they lived right across the street or very close or around the corner from Blake. So the number one player on ESPN's high school basketball rankings for 2027 is playing Montgomery County high school basketball at Blake. I have not seen him play. I've talked to coaches, including my guy at Whitman. They say he's incredibly talented. But, yeah, that's who Hayden was referring to. Let's go to Gary in Upper Marlboro. Gary, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hi, Kevin.
Hey,
I think this is a very, very sad situation for Maryland. As a longtime Maryland fan, I go way back. We have never had a coach leave to go to what he believes to be greener pastures. We've either gotten rid of them or they've stayed and retired. And I think this is a slow deterioration of the basketball program from the change from the ACC to the Big Ten. That was the main concern that I had when they went to the Big Ten, was the deterioration of the basketball program. And I think it's reflected in the NIL program, because I think we lost some Maryland fans when we went to the Big Ten.
You're right about
basketball
that.
Basketball fans.
You're 100% right about
rivalries.
That.
We lost those rivalries, and I think this is where we are. And I agree with you. This is no time to go out and try to get an upstart. We have to swing big to try to get a big name. And the guy that I was thinking about was the guy that you talked about last with Shaka Smart. I think that him going from Marquette to Maryland could be perceived by him as a step up and a new challenge going into the Big Ten. But I think we need a big name, and Billy Donovan, oh my goodness, if you can get him, that's great. But the concern that I have, I'm not really an optimistic guy. I really travel on glass half empty, and I'm very concerned about this because, Kevin, look, this is something, like you said, that's been festering for a long time probably, and I knew he was gone when he came out and said what he said. I knew he was gone. You don't hear coaches saying that, taking a shot at the AD or taking a shot at the program. That was very unusual. So I figured he had he was ready to go, but I hope we can keep him because I think he's a good coach. But I'm very concerned about the program right now. I've been watching since I was a little kid, Buck Williams, Albert King days.
No, look, I think, first of all, what you said about it wasn't all just, it was the Big Ten. It was also just that our market's changed, you know? It's just a different sports market than it was 15 years ago, 20 years ago. We've become much more of a pro sports town. We used to be all skins, and then you could say Maryland and Georgetown, you know? But it's not that anymore. So I think all of that kind of led to what you described, and I think, you know, does account to a certain degree for, at times, the lukewarm response. You know, I mean, you hear people talk about it all throughout the Big Ten. It's like there is no better environment in the Big Ten for a big game than College Park, the Xfinity Center. But if they're not good and it's not a big-time opponent, that place is two-thirds filled, half-filled on some nights. So, you didn't see that nearly as much when they were in the ACC and when it was a different town and when traffic wasn't, we could go all through all of the reasons. But I think that this is recoverable because I think the state of college sports, college basketball in particular, is you're one off season away from being really good. You know, football's different because you need so many more players. Basketball, you hit it big in the portal in one off season with two big additions, and you got, something decent coming back. You're a tournament team. And then, from that point, you hope that you can, make some headway in the tournament when you get there. I just think those Maryland fans that are a little bit hysterical about how this is incredibly damaging long term. I think it's short term damaging. I do. But like I said before, just thinking about it, it's possible that if Kevin Willard, if he does, we are still dealing in the hypothetical premature world, which is what we do here, that he may have, on his way out, set it up better for the next guy. And I want it to be, you know, what he was apparently, you know, presented with in terms of getting what he wants for the most part. I want that AD to be more, I guess, basketball friendly is the term I'll describe. I want them to think big on this hire. I do not want them to think small. And I mean, does that mean that I would be, I'm a Maryland guy, so I'm going to be supportive of whatever they do. But from this chair doing this show, I'm telling you right now, I think their best move is to think big and to go big. Maybe they can't land the big fish. Maybe the job just isn't attractive enough. But there are still a lot of things about the Maryland job that are super attractive. And if, you know, the word in the coaching community is, okay, they're going to be top tier in compensation, top tier in rev share number for basketball play, for the basketball program in terms of what they can spend on players. NIL is coming together in a much bigger way. They've got a great new AD that they're about to hire, whatever it is. But I've got people that have said to me, they're not hiring a basketball coach before they hire an AD. I honestly don't have an answer to that. I don't know. I would imagine that you got to hire both pretty quickly, but you can't wait on a basketball coach too long. All right. Jerry, G, Little, Ian, Joe, stay on hold. 301-230-0980. If you want to weigh in on the game last night, if you want to weigh in on the Kevin Willard situation, we played everything he said after the game last night. Phone lines are open. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app. From Big Tony, why not Dwayne Simpkins? Again, like, I love Dwayne. He's done a great job at AU. He's been a head basketball coach at the Division I level for two seasons at AU. I'm not discounting the possibility that that wouldn't be a move that could pay off and work. I'm just advocating for a think big strategy, a think really big strategy right now. You know, that is an alum, an important figure in the history of Gary Williams' career at Maryland, a guy in town that has been, you know, a head coach in high school at two different places. We had Dwayne on the show before the tournament last week. And I would be supportive of anything, but my mindset today is, you know, if they are going to commit in a way in which maybe they haven't committed to the basketball program for the next guy, think big. I would go Chris Beard. I would be thinking about guys like Shaka Smart and Billy Donovan and, yeah, Greg McDermott, as Denton brought up. He also brought up Brad Stevens. That's, I don't think that's happening. Who knows? You never know. You might catch a guy that's deciding, God, man, I'd love the perfect opportunity to go back to college. Oh, my God. My agent just called and said Maryland was interested. Jerry, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Go Terps.
Hey, what's up, Jerry?
I haven't talked to you in a while.
Yep.
I tell you, I am about as down and frustrated as you could possibly be. I mean, I'm put up with the worst professional basketball team ever in the history of basketball for the last 3 years.
How about the game last night?
It's one of the worst. Oh, yeah, well, that's typical. Good start.
Well, no, that's not typical.
They got beat by
53 points. Denton will get to that in news. Go ahead. Talk Terps.
Oh, yeah. I was talking about the baseball game. Anyway, you were talking. You're being very optimistic. Sounds like 3 years ago when we hired Willard, just some short-term pain. We're only one season away. Well, you know what it was like for me as a lifelong Maryland fan and an alum of Maryland to watch last season with that horrible shooting team, finishing, 16-17 or whatever it was, not being relevant in any way in college basketball, and the thought of having to go through that all over again because of the stupidity of an athletic department that continues to put so much money into a loser football program. I mean, I get a kick out of every time we play anybody in the Big Ten. We lose by 40 points. I mean, at least by 40 points. And yet, didn't they extend his contract? So anyway, I'm concerned because the portal opened Monday.
Yep.
We don't have an AD. We don't have anybody at Maryland doing anything with the portal. Probably won't happen for, what, a couple more months. Who do you think will be left for next year for good old Maryland? Nobody.
I don't know. So we're going to go through. I might be a coach in the tournament right now. Still coach. I don't know. Jerry, I have no idea where the answer is. Let me just make one thing clear. My optimism is based on if the athletic department and the university change in the way that, by the way, Kevin Willard, if he's the outgoing coach, wanted it to change, that would be a good leftover of this last regime. But keep in mind, 3 years ago, I was supportive, but I was not optimistic. Patino and thinking even bigger than Kevin Willard was my preference at the time. And I said to all Maryland fans, because I was a Mark Turgeon fan as a coach, I said, be careful what you wish for, because this guy's basically got us in the tournament every single year. He does a phenomenal job coaching the team, especially on the defensive end, and there's no guarantee that the grass will be super green or greener on the other side. So I wasn't super optimistic 3 years ago. I didn't mind Kevin Willard. I thought he was a good coach. I was super supportive, but I wanted them to think even bigger if they were going to, you know, once the Turgeon situation came about. Thanks, Jer. Appreciate it. Let's go to G. What's up?
What's up, Ted? Man, my condolences, man, on the L. But college basketball, like, I'm glad you prefaced it. College basketball is like AAU now. You know what I'm saying? You can pay now. That's why I wasn't against Willard speaking up for what he wanted, but I'm with Loxley. Keep that indoors, because I'm sure you done let him know indoors your issues. You got to, like, you can pay people now. So you find them sponsors, boosters, and alumni, like UCLA did back in the day, like Nick Nolte on Blue Chips. You're going to win. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, Kevin? Like, but as a coach, keep it basketball while you're still in the tournament. And I didn't like that. That was uncouth. That, like,
That was uncouth.
Hey, Sin. Well, yeah. But it's for real, because I want to win no matter what in basketball. So
I know.
If I know I'm leaving for Villanova, I still want to win the championship to take that with me to Villanova.
Oh, my God. Imagine if he had. If they'd gotten to the Final Four, people would have been fine with whatever happened.
No, forget that. But if you win it all, the NIL money, let alone just make it to the Final Four, the NIL money going to pour in voluntarily.
Yeah.
You're asking for the university to push the push, but it's going to fall in voluntarily along with the university putting the push in. So, it's a blank check, especially in the DMV with the major talent around here. That's what it comes down to. Make sure that NIL money, you're not scared to go hunt for it, because that's what the kids hunt for. And say when Lonnie Baxter and them won it back in the day, that money would have flowed into College Park.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You wouldn't even have had to ask for it. And that was still the ACC days. Even if George Mason, back in the Final Four days, when they took their team to the Final Four, had NIL, they would have cleaned up on local sponsorship and NILs. You know what I'm saying? The money would have rolled in. And he went at it a bad way. You know what I'm saying? But I understand why he did it, because everybody that got a job then went to their boss and told them what they wanted to make the job successful, and the job keep telling them, nah, we can't do that for you. Make it work. But Villanova all in. So, hey, Sean, I don't know who they should get, but you better get a coach that can recruit this area. You talking about Coach Kyle go big,
or go home. You get Cal away from that Walmart SEC football type of contributions. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The only way you get him away from that is with this talent. And you let him have free reign, because then you're going to get that top-tier talent that's around the local area to stay home, like Jordan Smith out Paul the Sixth, like Nate Emmitt out Highland.
All right, hold on. Just slow down here. So, first of all, you know, what you said and at the beginning, you know I agree with, which is the people that are saying, well, it's over. It's going to be years before you recover. No, that's not the way college sports is structured right now. But it's not because of what you led into, which is, you know, going in, getting the best high school players in the area to stick around. That's not it anymore. This is an old person sport for the most part. It is about recruiting the portal more than recruiting high school players, paying guys in the portal that are proven.
No.
Now, I understand what Derek Queen was. Trust me. I'm not saying that you don't bring in the Derek Queen types. But the idea of we're going to recruit, you know, a five-star and 2 4-stars, keep them home, and in 3 years we're going to be competing for a national championship, it's not done that way anymore. You know, you got to recruit the portal.
No, you got to recruit the portal, and you got to recruit that NIL money. And that's what's going
to
make
them to pay the guys in the portal, you got to have dough.
No. But like you said, Derek Queen was a good land. But imagine if this area really could put together a Fab Five type of starting lineup, and it should be easy. Like, you shut me off when I said Jordan Smith, Nate Emmitt, Caden Lewis. Man, you get
where's Jordan Smith going? Where's he going?
He's still he got another year, man.
I know he does. Where's he? I'm asking you where he's going.
Man, when you were talking,
Maryland's not even on the list, right?
But listen, that's what you get, the right person, like the type of person that could make Maryland on the list for Jordan Smith, Nate Emmitt, Caden Lewis, Quentin Cooper out Coolidge, going to happen. You keep somebody like that, you get a Fab Five and then get a big. Man, come on, man. I'm not trying to hit. You get Kyle that, hey, like you said, eventually get a kid like Baba that play out Blake. Yeah, that's man, Baba, I've been watching him grow up for years. He stay in the gym. His little brother, Wale, can ball too. He just ain't went through the growth.
Is he going to stay at Blake? Is he going to stay at Blake?
Listen, man, I'm not saying where he's going because that's not my son. I know where he's going, though, but okay. I'm not saying nothing over the air because I don't know if that's changed. So that's disrespectful.
All right.
But I got to jump to somebody else.
But your calls are the best. They're among my favorite, and I do want to find out. So just DM me where you think he's going, and I will definitely keep it, you know, between us. Ian, go ahead.
Yeah, these polls today are all over the place. I think the way Kevin Willard has gone about it has been so bizarre. And I don't know if you've seen the clip of him at the end of Seton Hall literally saying the exact same thing, almost verbatim, being like, I haven't talked to anybody. I don't know what's happening. And it's just so disingenuous. I wish he would have just said, I've taken the opportunity at Villanova. Here's why. The way he's done it has been poor. We've talked about that yesterday, the day before. In terms of your think big list, I love it. I agree. There's very few people that bring in baggage. Chris Beard obviously was fired for a reason, but then hired by Ole Miss, which I think it has a lot less standards than a bigger school like Texas does. But look, he's doing great. That would be great. I caution you on people like Shaka Smart, who's frankly had no success post his one flukish Final Four run. I think one of the most critical
things Why do you say flukish?
Look, we've seen coaches make a Final Four like Porter Moser, Shaka Smart, and then
I understand
the rest of their tenure.
I understand that, but on the way to that Final Four, didn't they beat some really good teams, or am I thinking about Butler or somebody like that?
No. They did. I'm just saying flukish as in that's the exception to his entire tenure. If you look at his Wikipedia.
Yeah, they beat Kansas in the Elite Eight. They were a one seed. They beat Kansas. They beat Notre Dame, who was the 2 seed that year in the second round. I'm sorry, they didn't beat. They beat Purdue, I'm sorry, in the second round, who was the 3 seed. beat Georgetown in the first round. That was when Georgetown lost to VCU and then Ohio, I think, in back-to-back years in the first round.
Right. So,
yeah. All right. What else?
My overall point is one of the most important things when they're looking for this next coach is someone with consistent March success or at least something to point to. Because, like you said, it's a 1 month sport. It's March. And you can have a Mark Turgeon who's a great regular season coach in the March underachiever, that's not bringing your fans back. So I think the most critical thing is someone with some pedigreed March success, Chris Beard, Rick Pitino, Brad Stevens, whomever, just somebody who you can say, hey, he's made some Elite Eights, he's made a Final Four, he's made some Sweet 16s, not taking someone.
Yeah, I hear you, and you and I have had this debate for a while. I want both. I want the guy that I feel is really good because there are a lot of guys that have made deep runs over and over again who people within the coaching industry would just say, yeah, but look at the talent. Look at the overloaded talent that went to that big brand name, you know, whatever it was. I want both. I want the guy that's done really well in March, but the guy that can actually really coach so that when you don't have overwhelming talent, you still end up with 23 wins and you're in the tournament. That's what I want. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Brian in Silver Spring. Brian, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin, thanks for taking my call. I think there's one name, and I do like the shock of Smart and Beard, but you know, they didn't have a lot of money last year. I like Tony Bennett, the former Virginia coach.
To come out of retirement to coach at Maryland?
Well, you know, Virginia didn't have the money. You see what's happened in the ACC, and he's only 55. He's from Wisconsin. He knows the Big Ten. He's got a national championship. He's young. He knows the fundamentals. And if he has a school that has the money for him, you know, it could be a possibility. I'm just throwing that out there. I mean, the guy,
you know,
is young, he's likable.
Yeah, I wonder if part of the – look, Tony Bennett can coach his ass off. I mean, just phenomenal. But obviously a very unique coaching style, right? And I wonder – if part of him moving on was, you know, like Jay Wright moved on, you know, like, you know, Mark Turgeon moved on, other guys that just got to the point where it's like, I don't want to have to be re-recruiting the same players every year. I think some of these guys are out and feel much better about being out. But you might be right. Maybe he wants back in. Stylistically, the way he plays, even though it comes with big-time results, I mean, one national championship, right? One Final Four trip, but incredible regular seasons. I bet you the Maryland fan base would be split on somebody like Tony Bennett because of the style of basketball they play.
Kevin, one of his players is on Maryland's team now, Rice.
I know.
3 years ago, that was a point. And he's got connections to DeMatha. But I do like the Shaka Smartberry, you know, because Beno Ranson, that was Mark Turgeon's assistant, is sitting on that bench. And Billy Donovan, I would love to see that. I just don't think that would happen. That's a far stretch for me. He's been in the NBA for so long. But, you know, what people don't realize is Maryland went full board on football 5 years ago, and they're just going to have to reevaluate the whole situation and see what happens. And maybe the Clark Construction booster will make the call.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Hey. Little, finish it up for us.
What's up, Kev? Shout out to Double D. Hey, man, we lost the game. I say, look, they had a halftime 3.5 cover. I get that. But, man, we got away from going into Reese. We only hit him. We going to him four times in the first half, and we don't go for two times. Kevin Willard can't coach. And we don't go to him for two times in the second half.
We could have gone inside more. I don't disagree with you on that, especially when Condon was out.
He won't even take a foul line shot. Look, I'm like my young blood from Southeast G. Man, go give me good counsel, kiss him. But give me somebody local. Oh, Brake, Michael Brake. Give me somebody, man. We start recruiting these young. Even though you had me wrong yesterday, Kev. I didn't say Willard wasn't a good recruiter. I'm saying we need to stay local on the coaches. Don't go big. Go get some of these high school boys that's been winning. Kiss them. Good counsel. Bring them in here. Then we get a training of these young boys that want to stay home. We got to start getting the young kids to stay home. That's how key we got to.
Rodney Rice is from here. Jameer Young played at DeMatha last year. Derek Queen and Julian Reese are Baltimore. Well, I mean, Deshaun Harris-Smith was the number one player in the area. I mean...
You hear me wrong. I'm not saying Willie didn't do a good job.
Okay.
I'm saying moving forward. Bring in Gary Williams, that's AD.
Yeah.
Bring in Williams, well, that's AD.
An interim AD,
for sure.
You got
to stay local, man. We can't keep thinking big, Kevin. You got to stay local, man. The talent is right here.
Yeah, the talent's man. Everywhere. And Maryland, you know, despite the discussion. What little?
65% of the talent come from this area. Trust me on that. These boys are balling.
Nobody
man.
Knows that better than I do. And I appreciate your calls always. And I'm with you. I'd like to keep every great player at home, but that's not realistic. You only have, you know, 14. There are more than 14 or 15 great players from the area that are signing elsewhere. You get a lot of kids that actually want to go away for school. Maryland's not had an issue with recruiting, including recruiting local talent. I mean, Mark Mello Trimble, Cowan, Baltimore, Stick Smith, recent Queen, both Baltimore guys, Rice, a DeMatha guy. We've had a lot of local players. The college basketball, though, right now, signed Deshaun Harris-Smith, number one player in the area. That's not the issue anymore. I'm with you. Of course you got to recruit this area. Of course you want to keep the best players home. But this sport is an older sport. You know, take away the Cooper Flags and even Derek Queens of the world. You've got to have grown men who have proven themselves at the college level that you can go out and pay and you know what you are getting in the kid and the type of player and the type of fit. Recruiting the portal is even more important than recruiting high school players in today's game. I'm not saying that you ignore high school players. No, because the Derek Queens of the world are difference makers, and there are several of those every year. And by the way, adding a Malachi Palmer, also from Baltimore, you know, makes sense because he's a guy that maybe becomes a big part of your team next year. He's not from Baltimore. Who's the other player on the roster, I'm thinking? Anyway, all right, good calls. Well done, everybody. Ben Standing will talk some football with us, but maybe some hoops with us as well. We'll do two parts of news with Denton today because there is a ton of news from last night and even from what's upcoming today. I've got a smell test. You probably don't want it after last night's picks, but we'll get to that later on in the show as well. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, theteam980.com. All right, we're going to do two parts on news today because there was a lot going on. It was opening day. The Caps were in action. The Wizards were in action. Record-setting days all over the place. We got more Sweet 16 games to talk about. Do you want to start with the baseball?
We got to start with the Nats opening day yesterday. Yeah. The Nats did lose 7-3 to the Phillies, but Mackenzie Gore had a historic outing, Kevin. He went 6 scoreless innings, struck out 13. He became the first pitcher since Bob Gibson in 1967 to be... They're the only two pitchers that have ever gone 13 strikeouts, no walks, in a scoreless outing on opening day. And he also set a Nationals record for most strikeouts on opening day.
I saw the second part of that, most strikeouts for a Nats pitcher on opening day. I had no idea that you were about to mention Bob Gibson's name in the same sentence as Mackenzie Gore's name. Yeah, it was awfully impressive. What an opening, you know, performance by Mackenzie Gore, who really, you know, has the potential, everybody believes, to be a true ace and a true star starting pitcher in the big leagues. And to go 6 innings and strike out 13, allowing one hit and not walking one batter, is insane. And he left the game with a 1-0 lead. Didn't hold up.
Did not hold up because in the 7th inning, Bryce Harper hit a solo shot that tied it, and then the Phillies ultimately won it in 10 innings, 7-3. Bryce Harper got booed, apparently, pretty violently again. I don't know why people are still booing Bryce Harper like that. I happen to like Bryce Harper, but I didn't like him going yard on my team on opening day.
Yeah, in a clutch at bat, right? They were down 1-0. It's the top of the 7th, and he goes deep to center field. Also walked, I think, in the 10th inning where they exploded for 4 runs that made the difference in the game. I don't get that either, honestly. I mean, it was – they didn't want him back. I mean, I don't know why history gets rewritten. I understand the first couple times. And look, Bryce going to Philly and talking about Philly the way he did so quickly as an unbelievable sports town and baseball town, which, by the way, it is a better sports town than D.C. is. You know, I know that irked a lot of Nats fans, but it wasn't really his choice. The Learners basically offered him a deal that he could not accept. So in many ways, they didn't seem to want him back at that point. But, you know, whatever. It doesn't really matter.
That googly eyes thing over Philly does bother me, because when he was here, he was a Cowboy fan. He was a Duke
no
fan.
Doubt.
He
Front
was
runner.
A Vegas Golden Knights fan. But now he's like all Philly everything. And I'm like, all right, buddy, you're doing a little too much there.
I'll tell you one thing, though. This guy has been one of the big-time clutch performers in sports for a while now, and I love watching Bryce Harper. I have loved watching him, especially in the postseason, when he's been in the postseason for the Phillies. And on opening day, it's the first pitch in the seventh in a 1-0 game that he takes deep to center field to tie the game up. He is big-time clutch. I mean, one of these days on a slow summer day, we should do the best clutch players in sports right now. He's on the list. He's definitely on a top five, top ten list.
I think he's probably right now the at least top two clutchest baseball players.
Who's number one?
I would have to sit down and think about number one. He's no worse.
I thought you had somebody in mind.
I didn't have somebody in mind.
Okay.
But he's no worse than two on that list. Every time it feels like he needs to deliver, he delivers.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we will do Caps, Nats, Sweet 16, smell test, all of that coming up next hour. Ben Standig will join us next.